All right, Kay, what are we doing this time?
Gary, we're going to harness the power of silly putty.
Oh, my regular putty is not cutting it anymore. My responsibility putty.
Yeah. I feel really bad for the putty getting all rigid like that. My putty proposes, what if we got a little silly with it?
Yeah. I don't know. Loosen your tie.
Yeah.
Have wine. Have a wine. Says putty. Have a wine. Get wine from Arby's. Just have a wine, you know?
Yeah, have a wine. So I've got, the many abilities that the silly putty toy has is to take an impression off of printed work. So mm-hmm. I have covered the wall with various characters, and I'm going to have you throw this big ball of silly putty at it, and we're going to see what sticks.
Now, the impression is backwards. So you can actually use silly putty technology to bring the family circus's grandparents back to life. if you paste it down right.
No, they're back to life, but they're trapped in the mirror realm.
Yeah. They don't go back to their own bodies.
No.
All right, let me toss a pud.
Okay, it bounced, and it's coming back. All right. Whoa, it's not a ball anymore. Mm-hmm. It's in the shape of, is it like a pony?
Okay. Here,
I'm going to ball this up and have you throw it again. Go through it again.
Oh, it did yell. Let me try again.
Okay. Came back. All right. Oh. It's in the shape of Gumby now. Gumby?
Crumble him up again.
Okay. Crush him. All right. Good. Now it's a dinosaur.
Do you want to do this instead? Yeah. Now it's a purple thing. Let's fucking keep killing him. Heaven is too full. Gumby.
Yeah, it's Gumby.
My name is Gary Butterfield, he, him.
My name is Kay Ross, she, her.
And you're listening to Abject Suffering. Pop down to your local chippy and get yourself an extra sticky wicket with a side of brown and mash.
And this week, this is a K-pick. We're talking about the Game Boy Advance game Gumby versus the Astrobots. which I like to say Gumby v. Astrobots because that makes it sound like a lawsuit.
Yeah, whoever wins, we lose.
Yeah.
Surprisingly, what I would have sworn there'd be more Gumby games.
Uh-huh.
But right. No.
Of all of the like shitty exploited properties that were like not even relevant to your grandparents. Mm-hmm. We have how many Three Stooges games do we have, Gary?
Too many.
Too many, I would say. Only one Gumby game. And I didn't even know it existed until like one of those box art bots posted it. And I was like, all right, well, I've got a little bit of history with Gumby. Let's throw it up there. Let's see.
Very surprising. It's also on the Game Boy Advance when Gumby had never been lower. Like cultural awareness of Gumby is not high right now and has been in decline at a shocking rate.
Yes, it has kind of always been guttering out. The time when it was most relevant was in the Eddie Murphy days.
Yeah, when somebody was Gumby, damn it.
Yeah. I went back and watched a lot of those sketches. First, mm-hmm. it's not funny, but also, like, I didn't realize because I've only ever heard the I'm Gumby, damn it. He's doing like a very stereotypical like, Jewish voice for that. Mm. Cool. Like, I don't know about that one, man. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know about this one, Eddie. Yeah.
It's no Mr. Robertson's neighborhood. Mr. Robinson's neighborhood. It's the other Eddie Murphy like recurring character I remember from SNL.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
There was a Gumby.
Black people.
Like they had tried. There was a Gumby movie in 1995. Which cost $2.8 million to make, but earned back $57,000.
That's incredible.
It only showed in 21 theaters.
That's incredible. I'm pretty surprised by that, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, I would have thought, because, like, Gumby was cool.
Yeah.
I don't know. I liked Gumby.
I liked Gumby a lot.
Yeah. It's more surreal than, you know, a normal kids thing.
Yeah. I was, you know, like, this was in the, like, the early to mid 90s, but, like, I would wake up early so I could watch, like, the weird before school programming block on Nickelodeon where they had Gumby specifically to watch Gumby. It would be, I hope I get to watch as much of this Gumby as I can before the bus came.
Yeah.
And this was like the nonverbal Gumby.
Yeah.
This was like the, this was
punished
this
Gumby. Trauma Gumby. Yeah.
This was Gumby, like, you know, completely silent, just weird, off-putting music, traveling between realms and being harassed by these horrible red men.
Yeah, the blockheads.
Yeah.
Did you see when I was doing Gumby research, when I was looking at Gumby shit for this, the 1953 debut of Gumby, the 3-minute student film Gumbasia?
No, I didn't.
It's really surreal and terrifying.
Okay.
You know, as a thing. But then they decided to make it a children's show, but it never escaped that fucking weirdness. Like,
yeah.
Even when Gumby was verbal, like, there is a stilted, very Lynchian quality to Gumby. Yeah. Pokey is always very angry.
Mm-hmm.
Here, and it's claymation, you know, in case anyone's not familiar. So it's a little clay guy.
Yeah.
Walking around with clay animals against two clay blockheads who are evil.
Yes. And claymation, like stop motion animation, you know, obviously people had done it, but like, I think this is the first like pop culture claymation sensation that I'm aware of.
United States.
Yeah, in the United States. There's probably something horrible, even more off-putting than this over in Germany.
There's a British, there's Scheißen Gumby. There's a British thing that was similar to this.
Yeah. Like, this was like 1953, like it debuted like as a short on the fucking Howdy Doody show.
Yeah. Which is also terrifying.
Oh, God, yeah.
For kids stuff. Like, Howdy Doody is a real problem.
Like, Gary, I am surprised that I said, like, I as a child was anxious to watch Gumby, that I was into Gumby and had Gumby toys, and that you didn't give me the business that you're mildly pro Gumby.
Yeah, I also was a Gumby kid. It just was on. I think it was on Channel 11 from time to time when I was very young.
Mm-hmm.
And I had the Gumby toy, like the little bendy Gumby toy that everybody had.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, pretty versatile, you know, like in terms of play. Like they inter books.
Yes.
Is their thing. And again, I think I was like drawn to how surreal it was. Like Pokey is oftentimes furious.
For no reason.
Yeah. He's got a real angry horse. And then he has a dog named Nopey who can only say nope.
Yep.
You know, like a lot of like, here's a character from Gumby, Goo, a flying blue shape-shifting mermaid who spits blue Goo balls. There's not like a reason for this or anything. It's just like, what can we do with clay?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I was always a fan of Prickle, the dinosaur, the very pointy yellow dinosaur.
Mm-hmm. Who could breathe fire and then would also sometimes be a Sherlock Holmes.
Mm-hmm.
No good reason, just kind of happened.
We just kind of needed. Everything is like protean. Gumby, most of all. But like everybody could just be whatever was necessary.
Yeah. And it was good. Good cartoon. Weirdly, they didn't make a game for it like during any of the times where it might have been good, I feel like.
Yeah.
Or might have been more successful. They waited until the GBA and they just made like a pretty shitty platformer that does look cool because it's kind of claymation-y.
Yeah, yeah. Although, like, it is some of the blurriest Game Boy Advance, like, graphics I have seen. That is saying something, because generally, unless you do it right, sprites on the Game Boy Advance can get a little JPEG compression-y.
Yeah. It's also playing it on emulator.
Yeah.
You know, it's a way bigger screen than it should be.
Yeah.
So, Gumby was enjoyed by counterculture figures in a big way. There's a Gumby album. called Gumby Album. And Gumby Album has like, you know, Dweezil and Moon Unit Zappa and Jonathan Richman, you know, songs of how much they like Gumby.
Yeah. You know? There's a cover of Bend Me, Shape Me on there, which is very good.
Yeah. Concrete and Clay by the Unit 4 Plus 2. Yeah. Zydeco Gumby Yaya. You know? We Are All Gumby. Like, it's a little culty, but like, still pretty good.
Right? And then coming in at the anchor, the big finale, Frank Sinatra Jr. singing the Gumby Heart Song. This is 1989.
Gumby Heart Song.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gumby is cool.
Yeah.
I like him.
Gumby has cred. I like a Gumby.
Yeah. And Riz.
Yeah.
Like, he's got a lot of good stuff going on.
Extremely good stuff going on. Also just inherently funny. Like, yeah. Gumby can be alluded to. And it's just funny. I posted a couple of screenshots of this to my Blue Sky, and they are just very funny out of context because
That bot. Have you seen the Gumby screens from Gumby bot?
No, I don't believe I have.
It's Scott Benson reblogs it a bunch.
Okay.
Or did, at least, maybe in Twitter. I think it made its way over to Blue Sky. I don't remember.
Yeah.
But like, they're just really surreal scenes. You know, and a lot of times, because one of them looks really angry, like something will be happening and Gumby or Pokey will just be like furrowing their brow.
Yeah.
And it's delightful.
Okay. Yeah. I've seen this. I've definitely seen this. Like, this is probably the source of like the Gumby that I see on social media.
Yeah.
I gave you a couple of screen caps of the
that Gumby
of
you
the,
hear of about.
The, of that Gumby you like coming back into style.
Yeah. I'm that Gumby. Yeah. Nuts and Gumby together at last.
Yeah. Just Gumby looking on as a cowboy levels a revolver at Pokey's head.
Mm-hmm. I like this, the stroke one.
Yeah. No, thanks. I'm sick of burnt toast. Nothing ever happens around here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Siri, Google stroke doctors in my area. We have to kind of put Pokey down. Pokey would be so easy to turn into glue.
Oh my God. He's like already most of the way there.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah. He is made up of mostly other horses at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. And we crumbled him up a couple times on our own in the randomization.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this makes me want to get the classic Gumby and Pokey set just for my desk.
Yeah.
You know,
that would be at least recreations to have like a posable Gumby around.
Yeah. Yeah. That might just be recency bias. Like, I might forget about that as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the second we stop recording.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I definitely have Gumby toys still around because I've never thrown anything away. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could probably find at least my Gumby. I don't know about Pokey.
Yeah. I think somebody, you should do it.
Somebody on the I Think You Should Leave Reddit is just really trying to make a thing out of I Think You Should Leave Gumby memes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Why not?
Why not? Do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Love it.
Not as much hay to be made out of Gumby. I thought this was going to be like you arguing with me, making fun of me. Like, oh,
no, I can.
Here's Kay, little kid, even then excited about stuff from decades before.
Gumby, like if you were like, I happened to stumble across Gumby because I was like absolutely raw dog in Howdy Doody.
Uh-huh.
You know, as a Howdy Doody maniac as a kid.
Yeah, yeah.
Then I would have been, you know, but when you go back to the 50s like this, and it's this kind of thing, you kind of cross over from like old timey nerd to like John Waters camp.
Yeah, that's probably right.
Which is good. Like there's a respectability line that it crosses, I feel like.
Okay.
You know, so. I mean, that's, and also I was into it.
That's of course. Yes. That's the line. That's
that's basically the line. Can I run a talking point by you?
You may.
You know how, there's places where they give you prizes for growing the biggest pumpkin.
Yes. State fairs and the like.
You know, and they always show a picture and the person who has the pumpkin is always like a little bit surprised, you know, because they've got this gigantic pumpkin.
I've never noticed this trend.
I've seen like a lot of interviews and stuff where somebody's like, just like, yeah, we just didn't think it was going to grow. I think it's weird we give the medal to the human instead of the pumpkin. Like they didn't do shit.
They really didn't. They just stood by and allowed the pumpkin to grow.
Yeah. And it's just like, that's squashes. They do that.
Uh-huh.
You know, every once in a while you get a squash of unusual size. Mm-hmm. Why are we rewarding the human for being near a fucking squash? Or owning a squash?
I literally think that it is like toxic ownership culture.
Yeah.
I think that it is. This happened to be growing on land that I am occupying, ergo I, it's basically mineral rights.
Yeah. But for blue ribbons.
Yeah.
You know, for tiny blue ribbons. Like, I think we should reward the pumpkins because they did the thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're monsters. They look really scary.
See, that's the thing about a large pumpkin, right? Like, you get a largest pumpkin, and the problem is they look melty because they cannot sustain their own weight.
No, yeah, they're protean.
Yeah, they always look kind of like they need to be tragically lifted out of a house with a crane because they can't get out the front door.
It's like real Gilbert Grape.
Yes.
Kind of things.
Yeah. I think that they're like, okay, largest seems pretty easy. Largest, but still has good form. Now that I want to see.
That's difficult. And then, you know, but again, I don't think the person's doing anything.
Yeah.
You know, you might be able to make like a bonsai pumpkin.
See, that's what I was going to say. If you grew it into a form, maybe.
Yeah. You know, and then like, what kind of forms can you do?
Because
like we could shape into a pumpkin shape, but if we can grow a pumpkin of this size of any shape, I feel like that's got to be something like, to be respected. I don't like, know what to do with it, but
could grow it into a bottle like an apple or pear.
Yeah. You know, or yeah. like a sword.
Okay.
You know, like something for our enemies or like a doppelganger.
Just make it into this is pumpkin, Gary.
Yeah, for fake death, for insurance frauds, you know?
Okay. Oh, so it'd be human size. It would be Gary sized.
Or just like, oh, Gary grew a lot and then he died. Here's his insurance. You know? Oh, shit. Yeah. Gary got pumpkin growth.
Yeah. All we could recover was Gary's seeds.
Yeah. All we got is, his fucking slimy pumpkin guts. And these pumpkins that are this big, it's one of the things I think is interesting about them as well, is that they don't have giant pumpkin seeds. They just have a lot of seeds. It'd be interesting if they had giant pumpkin seeds, because you imagine a roasted pumpkin seed you could eat like a Pop-Tart.
Oh my God. Beats right? still my heart.
Like a 6-bite pumpkin seed? Like Papitas Grande.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
Petissimos. I don't know.
I'm into it.
Yeah. God, I fucking love Pepitos.
Yeah.
I can go for some of those on a salad right now.
They're very good. Pepitos are very tasty.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think we should reward the pumpkin. It did the thing. But I'm looking but at, I've got this thing right here. I'm looking at Google search right here, and it's a bunch of proud motherfuckers who didn't do shit. You know?
It's a lot of stage farmers, I think.
Yeah.
Right. You know, like, hey, okay. Yeah. You woke up early and took the, and took them to rehearsal. Okay. Yeah. But they were the ones who were woken up early and had to put up with this.
You black swan to this pumpkin. And now you're rewarded. Like, look at this piece of shit and how sad the pumpkin looks next to him. Can we give this guy a reward for this fucking kill me pumpkin?
Yeah.
You know, this is the most like wants to be put out of its misery pumpkin I've ever seen in my life.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Jesus. I do like there appears to be a whole scene of unusually large pumpkins and people doing like sculpture out of them.
Oh, those are great.
Or this could be like maybe this is some clever foreshortening, but I'm seeing some like a human person like crawling out of one of them. Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that as well. I think that rules. And that person should get a reward for that.
Yes.
Cuz like they sculpted it.
Yeah, it's an art installation, beautiful in its impermanence.
They killed the pumpkin in the most interesting way.
Yes.
You know, so that can be rewarded like a hunt.
Mm-hmm. You know? Like, just one time. Yeah, so you're saying the pumpkin should get the medal. Like when the judge puts it on there, like when they stick it with the pin, I just want to hear it go...
or is that because it just happens the pumpkin, or did somebody try to game it? Like, we goose them a little. They just have a big inflatable pumpkin that they're cheating.
It would be funnier if that's just what the pumpkin did, but also funny if it was like, if it revealed a scandal in the 4-H community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's a bigger scandal when they found the hidden 5th H.
Yeah, the 5th H was homosexuality. They kicked it out.
Yeah, and there's a huge scandal. Did you know that Gumby has a graphic novel called 50 Shades of Clay?
Jesus Christ.
Do you think that's a corny Gumby? That can't
that's
be horny
probably
Gumby.
Pretty. That's pretty. You know, did you say horny Gumby or corny Gumby?
I said horny Gumby because of 50 Shades of Grey.
Okay, because Gumby by nature is
a horrible hip hop group.
Yeah.
But also very corny.
Huh. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it wouldn't be too hard to make horny Gumby, right?
No, he could grow like any kind of hog you needed. Like he's a bad dragon, you know, multi-tool.
Yeah. Showing you pleasures you never thought to ask for.
Yeah. Cenobite Gumby.
Yeah. I'm just going to do a search for horny Gumby. And we'll see, we'll see what comes up. I'm not going to go on Roll 34 because I think that's too easy. No, DeviantArt just shows a bunch of Gumby, just a bunch of Gumby fan art.
Mm, it's not horny.
No, not horny at all.
Weird. I mean, good.
Yeah.
another topic I have for you.
Okay.
We both know the song by the Association Windy.
Yes.
We know it largely from Breaking Bad. Mm-hmm. There, you know, everyone knows it's Windy.
Of course.
Have we talked about the lyrics of that song before?
That is not a show where we would do that, I don't think. I think maybe when that episode came up, we were mostly arguing about whether or not it was a stretch that it's Windy, not Wendy. And the character's name is Windy.
It's a blowjob because of wind.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, were you giving him a Wendy, right? Yeah. I remember that conversation, which is remarkable because I never remember anything. But I do not believe we camped out on the association song. Everybody knows it's Wendy.
I've been going through a real 60s kind of AM gold, 60s and 70s AM gold music phase.
Worst phases to go through.
Way worse phases to go through. I watched Beau's Afraid and it has a bread song in the end. I was like, this bread song fucking whips. And then I am becoming a parody of myself.
Even Homer was embarrassed to like bread.
I know. He wanted bread. He was like, he just heard him on the King Biscuit Flower Hour. But the lyrics to Windy, if you read them like a counter reading, they're a little menacing.
They're speaking out from under the stairway.
Yeah, right? Calling out a name that's lighter than air. Bending down to give me a rainbow. Everyone knows it's Windy. Tripping down the streets, you know, smiling to everyone. That's fine. Captures a moment. But in the chorus, like Windy has stormy eyes and they flash at the sound of lies. That's weird, right?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And Windy can fly. She has wings to fly. She doesn't just fly metaphorically. Like she is a winged humanoid.
Okay. So this is some kind of harpy figure.
Like a truth harpy or like a lady of pain that is benevolent, that lives under stairways and can fly through the city and knows when you are lying.
This is a creature that your parents would warn you about to like make sure that you never told a fib.
It's real Monster Manual shit.
Yeah.
Kind of hidden. Huh. And it's just because the association were like, I don't know, fucking eyes and lies rhyme. You know, we don't know what to do, but it made it real weird. And her peeping out from under a stairway is a weird note as well.
Oh, it's a wonderful image.
Yeah.
I mean, it really gives you the sense that there's no length that Wendy won't go to punish you.
Yes, if you lie.
Mm-hmm.
You must tell the truth to Wendy, you know, or she's going to trip you down a rainbow or whatever the shit.
Huh. Yeah, no, I'd never paid attention to it because I just know it from Breaking Bad. I'd heard it in another context, but that is the closest that I paid attention to it.
It's kind of a bop. Like I was walking around my house, you know, and then when I just searched the lyrics on Google in preparation of this, genres, sunshine pop, comma, Halloween music. So somebody is knows, like somebody was like, yeah. Right?
Oh, okay. So this is not the first time this path has been walked.
I think so. I think somebody else is with me.
Okay.
On this.
Somebody else has been stalked by Windy.
Yeah. Like it's a real Slender Man kind of thing. Like you see Windy, you know, you lie to Windy and then you can't get Windy.
Okay. Wait a minute. So there's an about section on here. I hate to turn this just into us talking about the internet.
No, it's okay.
Rhino.com has this to read concerning Windy. The song about a girl named Windy was originally about a boy. Songwriter Ruth Ann Friedman set the record straight with Song Facts. I have heard so many different permutations of what the song was about. Here is the truth. I was sitting on my bed, the apartment on the first floor of David Crosby's house in Beverly Glen.
Okay.
And there was a fellow who came to visit and was sitting there staring at me as if he was going to suck the life out of me. So I started to fantasize about what kind of guy I would like to be with. And that was Windy, a guy, parens fantasy. The song fantasy. Took about 20 minutes to write.
That's incredible. Yeah. So this is like an avatar that you could summon up.
Yeah.
Like Windy is Friedman's stand. You know, right?
I'm going to need to consult some experts, but I believe I'm going to give you a provisional right.
Yeah, I think this that's correct.
This is on the Wikipedia.
That's incredible. I didn't notice that. Like, I was looking at the lyrics and I was checking out with the geniuses, but they fucking let me down.
Yeah. she wrote it in waltz time, but the group's producer changed it to the more common 4/4. In another interview given in 2014, she explained that the song was about herself. These days, looking back at myself in my mid to late 20s, I finally realized I was talking about me in that song and how I wanted to be.
It's a trans anthem. Who knew it's a trans masculine anthem?
But it wasn't her who decided to make it about a man.
Oh, that's no, she says she.
Oh, yeah, you're about, right. Yeah, okay, yeah. So the just told sorry, me that. I got it backwards. Sorry. Yeah.
Yeah.
How am I supposed to keep any of this gender stuff straight? Come on.
Yeah. Well, these days, right? Yeah. think about it. I also love this. I love reading about music from this period where it's just like video game style human rights abuses.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the recording was grueling. And that's because the association is all like 40-part harmonies.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it lasted for 24 hours. You know, like basically. Like,
yeah. Why does Brian Wilson get that reputation?
No, well, the crew that literally did this was the Wrecking Crew.
Oh, shit. Like, okay,
You know, who were the most badass sounding people to make music that sounds like the association. It's fucking calling the Wrecking Crew. They're going to fuck shit up. Ding 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 ding.
Cleaner. I need it cleaner. Give it to me cleaner.
give it to me cleaner. Less distortion. More harmonies. We need to make sure this can never be performed live.
14 people in the personnel track or in the personnel list.
Incredible stuff.
Including somebody named Bud Shank.
Bud Shank.
And Bones Howe.
Go ahead.
And Bones Howe.
By Bones Howe as well. The the association's kind of sick.
Mm-hmm.
I like the association and the Hollies. Listening to that, so I've been in this mode through there. The Hollies have a song called Carrie Ann. Do you know Carrie Ann by the Hollies?
Oh, of course I do, yeah.
It's real mean.
That's like that is a weird little earworm for me because of the line, "You play the janitor, I play the monitor." And I have no idea what that means. I heard that as a kid and it stuck in my head. I've looked up the answer, but like it's this weird little madness mantra.
Stuck in my head a lot too.
Yeah, yeah.
This is it's a very mean song.
Mm-hmm.
Like he used to play little games with Carrie Ann and then she started playing with the older boys in Prefix. And just like it's like incel shit. You've lost it.
Yeah,
you lost your charm as you were aging. Where's your magic disappearing?
Carrie Ann hit the wall, Gary.
Yeah. Like this is basically Carrie Ann aged out of being fucked by the association. it's really mean.
Yeah. Incredibly mean.
People live and learn, but you're still learning. You use my mind and I'll be your teacher. When the lesson's over, you'll be with me. Then I'll hear the other people saying.
Yeah.
Like the association is fucking, or the Hollies and the association are menacing.
Yeah.
Is that?
Well, it's kind of like I was walking around the house the other day singing Superman, which I know through the REM song. I think we remarked on this back in File Underwater, but like I was just singing the lyrics for it and just like this is the most menacing shit.
It's real menacing. There's just a genre like there's the Motown song Get Ready, one of my favorite songs of all time, incredibly menacing.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to try to make you love me too, so get ready. Like, it's fucked up, but that was just kind of what you did. in the 60s. Like, and then the 70s came along and you could write a song that was like, I'm going to Vietnam. You have to fuck me now. No, 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 no. Live for today. Like, I'm in the grassroots. Suck my dick.
Yes.
It's the 70s. Like,
that went platinum. I'm in the grassroots. Suck my dick. It's the 70s. Went triple platinum.
Yeah. It's just like, it was a genre. The Fools of the Academy, they should have made it a whole prospectus.
Uh-huh.
Like, yeah. Incredible stuff.
Yeah. Oh my God. Which is a wonderful age for music. Wonderful era.
Yeah. It is my favorite age for production though, basically.
Yeah,
so like, yeah, it's all problematic. I don't want to listen to lyrics. I don't really care that much because it sounds so goddamn good.
The fucking guitar line, even just the hook on Windy.
Yeah. For incredible sake. Stuff. Like it's the best. I die from it. Kills me. Very good.
You're dead.
You're
dead, Gary.
Yeah, I'm fucking dead from smooth 70s jams.
Uh-huh.
I watched that the Dahmer show, which is not very good, but it reminded me of Casey and the Sunshine Bands, Please Don't Go. It's also a gross incel song. Like, all music was incel music from, like, 1950 to 1980 for some reason. But, like, it's all really good.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
People love that shit.
Yeah. And I'm people. Like... what can people do?
You can back us at patreon.com/duckfeedtv, get a whole bunch of bonus content, and support us in our endeavor to do more podcasts.
Yeah, we would appreciate that. We'd also appreciate you spreading the word by telling other people and sharing episodes, leaving ratings and reviews, things like that, listening to our other shows. All those things are good. And we appreciate it if you thank our producer, Gwen.
Thank you, Gwen.
What can they do until next time?
Gary, until next time, I didn't vet this one, so I'm just going to put it. This has been Abject Suffering, where I'm not saying a little platonic smooching would solve all my problems, but it wouldn't hurt.
Who's smooching?
Platonic smooching?
Oh, platonic. Platonic. I thought you said
platonic.
I heard tonic and then sonic.
If you could only see.
Yeah, there we go.